This is on the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We're going to cover history faster than you've ever covered it before in your life. You have before you, or should have, a handout. And on it says, Observations on the 70s. At our International Leadership Conference in March 1980, some of you were there, this is a summary sheet that we used on the strengths, difficulties, and conclusions on the 70s. You can read that sometime. Now the 80s. On the third page, it says, the navigator's progress toward the primary aim to multiply labors in every nation. You see that, the third page? That was done in May this year. That's where we are as of May 1982, or were as of May 1982. We have 2,034 staff of 31 nationalities. 365 of those are foreign missionaries. That's number two. 686 are representatives and contact staff. During the last ministry year, there were 2,000 new laborers raised up. Of those, 38% were women. Of those, 49% were non-American. Every nation. The navigators minister in 617 locations, 179 community ministries, this is worldwide, military 106, and student 332. We have a sustained ministry commitment in at least 48 countries using 34 languages, of which these countries may be listed. There are other countries which obviously cannot be listed. 16 of these countries have sent out at least one staff missionary. So we have an increasing number of countries that are sending out navigators as missionaries to other countries. Next page. At the International Leadership Conference, we, after evaluating the 70s, looking into the 80s, decided that there were certain things that we must do in the 80s. We call them imperatives. These are they. And so if you would take your pen or pencil, and in the first one, underline the word prayer. We must strengthen our worldwide prayer. That's the key word. In the second one, underline the word laborers. We must always focus on laboring in and laborers. That's the key word. In the third one, the second line, it says qualified equipper stroke navigators. Underline that. That's the key to that imperative. Fourth one, second line, first three words, leadership of staff. That's the key there. Fifth one, second line, first word, underline the word missionaries. That's the key there. Sixth one, third line, last two words, women's ministry. That's the key word there. Seventh one, second line, last three words, body of Christ. That's the key there. The eighth one, second line, first two words, financial strategy. Progress is being made on all of those except number eight. We hope to get going on that, but there's nothing significant that I'm aware of on number eight. Now turn back to the second page of your outline, Roman numeral 3, the 90s. The only way you can prophesy in the 90s is by referring to the promises. So I have simply set forth here three promises that motivate me relative to the 90s. The first, Isaiah 54, 1 to 3. 20 years ago, after I had been president for 7 years, I reached an early midlife crisis. I was disoriented, uncertain as to what I ought to do next. The things I felt the Lord gave me to do when Dawson died had been accomplished, and I was generally mixed up. I had never heard about a midlife crisis till then. So I turned the navigator work over to Rod Sargent, and I decided to take enough time with the Lord till he gave me some new promises, just for me. Now, Dawson had his promises, but I wanted mine. So I purposely avoided the book of Isaiah, because that's where Doss got his, and I wanted my own. But by a circuitous, roundabout way, I ended up in Isaiah. And one day I was telling the Lord how fruitless I was. I said, "Lord, I'm the worst evangelist in the navigators. Have less fruit than anybody else. I'm barren." And I was telling him all about it. And then I was reading in Isaiah 54, and it's almost as though the Lord said, "Okay, I'll take your word for it. You're barren. You're fruitless." And it says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child." Okay, so you don't have that many spiritual offspring yourself. "Sing, cry aloud, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes." And we began to do that. Last year when I turned 60, I asked the Lord if he wanted to give me some new promises, and it was almost as though he spoke to me out loud and said, "You have all you need." And that's one of them. So we'll keep lengthening the cords and strengthening the stakes. Another one that he gave me during that time was Isaiah 43, 5 to 7. "Since thou wast precious," I'll start with 4. "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Well, I didn't do it myself. But in response to some prayer and promises, others did it, and here you are, as part of those promises of 20 years ago. Not me, I didn't do it. But I know that God fulfills his promises. I just have to look around. And I wish I could describe to you how it feels down inside to live long enough to see what God has done. That'll happen to you too. That's really a thrill, isn't it, Joe? It really is. Now, another verse in Isaiah that has motivated me in my ministry, perhaps more than any other through all the years, is Isaiah 60:22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in my time. There's nothing I like to see more than a nobody become a somebody for Christ. A little one grow and mature and multiply and have an impact. That's exciting. And that's what I want to give the rest of my life to doing. Well, now, that's the report. The 60s, 70s, and 80s, or rather the 70s, 80s, and 90s in 12 minutes. Can't beat that. Now, I'd like to take a moment here. What did you pick up from Joe that you ought to make a note of? Take a look at your notes there, would you? And put a star or a big check mark or some indication in the margin of something that you can apply now. Or, if you can't now, just write in the margin, remember, I'll need this someday. Now, normally, what I should do right now is have a word of prayer and call it a night. But I'm leaving Sunday, and I think I like to just, no, you don't have to have any notes here. I don't care, you can close them up. I just want to take a couple minutes more, and I thought, how would I like to wind it up now? And maybe we'll never see each other again. I don't know. I don't have any premonitions. I'm just saying it could be. What would I want to say? I thought, boy, I've got a big challenge here. And I've got one written out here. Wouldn't take long to say it. And I decided, no, that's not what I'd like to do. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to leave you relaxed in the Lord. That's what I'd like to do. I remember one time when I had the navigator work in Seattle, and one of these sailors came into our living room, and he sat down on the couch, he threw his arms back, and he said, I'm relaxed in the Lord. That's a great way to be. Relaxed in the Lord. When Paul left the Ephesian elders, and he said he wasn't going to see them again, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And that's what I want to do. And in doing it, I want to share something with you. It's probably helped me to relax as much as any other one thing in the last 3 years. And it's a verse from Psalm 119. You don't even need to take notes. You're going to remember this. You're not going to forget it. In the first place, has anyone ever memorized Psalm 119? Have you ever heard of anybody that memorized Psalm 119? Have you? Well, I want to send them a letter of congratulations. There are 176 verses in that psalm. And as far as I know, every verse is a prayer, isn't it? Every verse is a prayer. Now, whoever wrote that psalm, it doesn't say, but I think it was David myself, but he was a praying person. Also, all the verses in that psalm, but two or three, talk about the scriptures, the Bible, the commandments, statutes, judgments. So that person was a Bible-centered praying person. Quite a godly person. I'd like to be like that. And when you think about that, then all the more startling is that last verse. And here's what it says. Don't look it up because you're going to learn it. You can learn it. It won't take you but a minute. Just think, this godly, praying, Bible-centered person wound up the psalm by saying, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Three parts to the verse. First, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Say that. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Even the godly go astray. Bible-centered praying people go astray. Navigators go astray. You and I go astray, don't we? We go astray in our thought lives. We'd hate to have them projected on a screen for others to see. We stray in our words, in what we say. I don't know how it is with you, but I'll have to admit, it seems like scarcely a day goes by when I go to bed at night and I pray through the day and I think back, there's something I said I wish I hadn't. Or something I hadn't said I wish I had. We go astray in our words as well as our thoughts. And we go astray in our deeds. What we do or not do. And wish we hadn't done. Or that we had done. He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. We go astray, don't we? All of us. Then what did he say? He said, seek thy servant. Seek thy servant. He does not say, now, Lord, I've gone astray, but don't worry, I'm going to make my way back. I'll be okay. I'm marching right back to where I ought to be. Not what he said. He said, Lord, you come looking for me. Find me where I am. And then you take me back to where I ought to be and where I want to be. Now that is a firm grip on the grace of God. That's God letting God do something for you. And the whole Bible is written to tell us that God wants to do something for us, right? Lord, there are 99 that were safe in the fold. And I was that 100th one out there. Would you do like you said in that story in Luke 15? Would you come looking for me until you find me? And put me on your shoulders like you did that sheep and take me back to where I want to be, where I'll be. He comes looking for us. Isn't that something? You talk about grace of God, the love of God. You know what, when I think about that, it loosens up the muscles in the back of my neck and through my shoulders. my headache sort of lessens. Just relax. And admit, Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Come looking for me. Find me where I am, Lord, and take me back to where I want to be and where I ought to be. Let's say that much of it together. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Then he says, for I do not forget thy commandments. The facts are, you can't forget his commandments. They're built into the things. They're built into our very constitution. Like the man said, he said, I have a Christian stomach. He said that when I am angry with people, irritated, bitter, resentful, my food won't digest. My stomach's all upset. But when I'm loving, forgiving, patient, my stomach feels great. In fact, I was made to be a Christian. I was made to work that way. I can't forget your commandments. They're built into me. Besides, I've memorized some. Besides, I have a circle of friends, too, who remind me of your commandments. I can't forget them. And I don't want to either. They're with me. So, 3 days before I left on this trip, the son of a fellow, a couple with whom I've worked, 18-year-old boy, got in some trouble, went to a party, got wild. He put his hand to a glass window and had just ripped it down the bone and tore things loose. So he said to his dad about a day later in the hospital, he said, you think Mr. Sani would come to see me? So I went down to see him. And the boy had told his dad at first that I don't want you in the room. He was upset about something. So I said, how is it, Steve? Tell me about it. So we had a little talk. And I gave him, I said, here's something I think you would like. So we opened to Psalm 119, 176. We went over it like we've gone over it. And he said, that's me. That's me. I said, would you like to memorize it? He said, I would. So I went in to see him the next day. He'd memorized it, and we had talked about this, and I said, here's what you do. You think of every way that you can think of that you've gone astray, and just tell the Lord about it, and ask him to forgive you, and he will. And he'll not only forgive you, but he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you can put your head on the pillow tonight with a clear conscience. Just relax. Isn't that neat? Maybe you don't use that term. Our kids would say, isn't that neat? Isn't that wonderful? Let's go to bed tonight with our head on the pillow. Relax in the Lord. He loves us. Sure, we go astray, but he seeks us. He finds us. And by his grace brings us back, forgives us, cleanses, and we wake up with a new, fresh start. Let's say that verse together. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Psalm 119, 176. Now you're not going to forget that verse. Right? Okay, let's pray. Lord, how grateful we are tonight for your unbounding love. The grace upon grace. That when we go astray, and we do it so often, like a lost sheep, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. Seek thy servant. Come looking for me, Lord. Find me where I am and help me. Bring me back to where I ought to be and where I want to be. For I do not forget thy commandments. In Jesus' name, amen.